эфире «Арсенал» подкаст Ивана Меркурьева.
Здравствуйте, уважаемые слушатели. Очередной «Арсенал» подкаст. Я бы сказал, что он сегодня у нас будет в каком-то смысле по итогам сезона. И мы обсудим все, что происходило в этом сезоне. И делать мы это будем с Кевином Вичером. Мы будем делать это на английском языке. Перевод будет дня через два, наверное, числа 23-го. Поэтому, кто может слушать, то присоединяйтесь. Кто нет, то подождите, пожалуйста, перевода. Ну, а мы начинаем. And I would like to say a very warm welcome to our best English friend of our society, Mr. Kevin Witcher. Kevin, hello.
Hello, Ivan.
Kevin, the question is very easy. We are speaking before Europa League final. In your view, the result of this final can change your mind on or your opinion on this season itself?
Well, yes and no. I mean, the objective that Arsenal fans wanted when the change was finally made to get shot of Arsene Wenger was to get back to being a competing club for the major honours. And if you're not in one of the two competitions which are now regarded as a major honour, then that counts as a failure. So a lot hangs on this Europa League final. So on that level, it's what was the question again? I've lost my thought. What did you ask?
I did ask you, can the result of this final change your mind on the season itself?
Yes. Then on that criteria, yes. Because the criteria was to get back into participation in the Champions League as a building block towards future success. Arsenal are not going to win the Champions League next year, even if they're in it. But what we want to see is an Arsenal team that can start winning big ties in Europe. And in all fairness, you know, so far this season, Emery has achieved everything he can in Europe. You know, he's been in the lesser competition, but at least we are winning ties. But what we want to be doing is winning those ties in the Champions League. And it's especially galling to see our London rivals, Tottenham, make a final. That puts everything into perspective about how much Arsenal have underachieved since 2006, the last time they did make their final. So, yes, the result in Baku will determine my view of this season.
Okay, let's speak about Baku itself. What is the problem with Baku, tell me, from English fans? I know the club have complained that there is a transportation problem or something like this. Explain me, please, what kind of problem do you have when we are speaking about the final, the European final? Okay, the second one, but...
Well, the main problem for most people is expense. Mm-hmm. It's difficult for them to justify spending over £1,000 to attend a football match. Some people will be able to do it for not much over £1,000 because they've managed to get the cheaper flights, they've bought the cheapest match ticket, they're not going to be staying overnight. But for those fans that will be staying, you know, they're probably going to end up with a bill of £1,500, £2,000 for some of them. And for, I think more people would have been prepared to swallow that if it were a Champions League final, but this just doesn't seem as important. And you also add to that the inconvenience. You know, the flight times are, in some instances, you're not going to sleep for about at least two nights. You know, it's going to be very difficult. A lot of flights are returning in the morning after the game, and people don't have hotels, so they're just going to be hanging around So it's a mixture of expense and inconvenience, and it could not be in a worse destination for two English clubs. You know, it is literally at the far eastern side of Europe. It's further east than Baghdad, and a lot of the flights that people have looked at are not even direct, so they're going to be flying for a long time both ways, and you just think, do I need this? And I mean, in all fairness, one of these two teams is going to lose this match, and that's going to be one hell of a long trip home, not worth thinking about. But it is interesting to note that the take-up of tickets has been so low from the two club supporters, because initially there were complaints that they were only getting 6,000 tickets mm-hmm. each. Now, apparently, Chelsea's season ticket holders have only taken 600 of their tickets. Now, some more will have gone to people who are not season ticket holders, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's only about 1,500 Chelsea fans in their section. Arsenal fans have taken approximately 3,000 of the 6,000 allocation. And it is linked to this aspect of the expense and the inconvenience of reaching the city which is hosting the final.
Because of this, everybody can buy again the tickets on UEFA site. So mm-hmm. so if somebody wants, I don't mean English people, somebody wants to support the team, you can buy ticket to the final right now.
Yes.
Tell me, please, what's your opinion on who is the favourite in the final in Baku?
Well, the bookmakers make Chelsea the favourites, mm-hmm. and it's for the simple reason that Arsenal, their defence is not strong. They just think Chelsea can get a result, and I'm not so sure it is. I think it's more 50-50 than that, but the favourites with the bookies are Chelsea. In reality, I really think it's down to what each side's attack do. Now, for Chelsea, that means, can Arsenal keep Eden Hazard quiet? And on the other side, Lacazette and Aubameyang, on their day, can win you a game. So I think this will come down to which one of the attacks turns up. And I certainly I think it's a 50-50 game. I don't feel that Arsenal are at a huge disadvantage. When they have played Chelsea in recent times, only very rarely have they not performed. Generally, Arsenal seem to play a good game against Chelsea. Even at Stamford Bridge earlier this season, there was an element of misfortune to their losing 3-2. And certainly the 2-0 victory at home in the league was one of the better Arsenal performances this season, including in defence. And it was only 2 years ago that Chelsea were heavy favourites in the FA Cup final, and Arsenal turned up that day and played a fantastic game of football. A game that was so good, ironically, it put us back, because it meant Arsene Wenger was able to secure another contract. Not one I'm convinced would have been given to him if he had not won that cup final. So Arsenal can certainly beat Chelsea, assuming they just get the basics right and they don't give away the cheap goals.
Okay. Personally, I think that Arsenal are the favourites in this game because of Mr. Sarri, who is very predictable, and as far as I understand, Arsenal have a clue.
Yes, I mean, certainly Chelsea have become inconsistent because sometimes the players don't perform. The other thing is that the pressure is a little bit off Chelsea because they have at least got their Champions League spot secured. So there's no real financial pressure on them to win this game, demonstrated by the fact they've gone ahead with this trip to America. I mean, I suspect a little bit of me thinks that if this game, if Champions League qualification had been dependent on this final for Chelsea, they might have actually managed to wrangle their way out of that trip to America. But nevertheless, they went ahead with it and took the money. But yeah, it does give me some optimism that the players don't always play for Sarri. He's not much of a motivator because he seems to have fallen out with the dressing room, and that can only be good for Arsenal.
What do you think? Will he leave Chelsea regardless of the final result?
I think the problem Chelsea will have is their transfer ban, because they will want to attract a manager of the status of Allegri, who is now available. But would a manager of that status want to come to a club where they can't get any new players for a year? So I think the fact that Sarri's got them back into the Champions League may have bought him another year. But I think if Chelsea can find someone willing to take the job who is, in their opinion, better, then Sarri will go. So I really think it's down to the recruitment and what they can get, given the handicap that the club has this summer.
Now, they have a ban, yes, but not this summer, because they will apply. Still not, but they will apply, and in this summer they will be able to buy. Maybe January and next summer, if it stands.
In that case, I do believe that Sarri will go.
Will go, yes. I also think that he will go. But okay, let's come back to the Arsenal, and the most important question. It is a new era, absolutely. How do you feel? Arsenal is a different team from previous years, or the same?
I think the club is headed in the right direction. That being that they don't have one man running it who has lost the plot. And Arsene Wenger was slowly losing the plot since the stadium move. That's a positive. However, on the field, it still feels a lot like an Arsene Wenger team, in spite of the fact that we have some new arrivals. So there are changes, but the old habits die hard, and those old habits are basically the inability to control a game for 90 minutes without giving the opposition chances to score. You know, you compare Arsenal with the two teams that have run away at the top of the Premier League this season, and both of them have, I mean, in spite of, you would argue, not necessarily having brilliant defenders right across the line, what I do see is two very organised teams who the coaches have got the best out of their personnel by whatever they're doing on the training field. So, you know, defensively, Manchester City and Liverpool, they have off days, sure. They have matches which they do concede more goals than they should, but that's not generally the case. With Arsenal, you can always rely on them to concede. Now, my mistake when Unai Emery was appointed was to think, well, this guy's won 3 Europa League titles with a lesser Spanish team. European football is quite often about not conceding too many goals. So surely this guy knows how to get a result. He knows how to sort out a defence. That didn't prove to be the case. And when I checked subsequently and looked at Sevilla's record, they were conceding as many goals as Arsenal. It just, what happened was Emery had an ability to win ties, sometimes very narrowly, but he managed to get his team through, sometimes in very high-scoring games, sometimes via penalty shootouts. I mean, it's ironic that I think he won his first Europa League final 0-0 on a penalty shootout. But, you know, overall, his teams do concede an average of at least a goal a game and more throughout their European campaigns. And I mistakenly thought that that wouldn't be the case, that Arsenal would get tighter at the back, that he would organise and get more out of his defenders. In mitigation, I will say this for him. Number one, he's inherited a lot of clowns who were never taught how to defend, although at least he was able to use a couple of new defenders. One of them, Socrates, has generally worked out okay. The other one, Lichtsteiner, hasn't, although at least we didn't pay any money for him. But the other thing which I think is significant is that he's not been able to consistently have a run with the same set of defenders. Now, partly that's due to tactical changes, but certainly the injuries to both Rob Holding and Bellerin have handicapped the team, because I'm pretty sure that both of those would have regularly started in either a back four or a back five, because both were playing well at the times they got injured. So he's been unfortunate there, but even so, he should have done better with the personnel he had. And it's notable that Arsenal gave away so many goals in the Premier League due to individual errors, many of them from defenders. And that's not Arsenal to me. It's what Arsenal became under Arsene Wenger. But historically, you know, there's a lot of talk about the values of the club. One of the values of the club to me is the ability to defend and win matches, tight matches, through solid work in front of the goalkeeper. And that just has not happened, and I don't see it changing, because I just don't think Emery is a coach that does defence now.
Mm-hmm. So, generally speaking, is Unai Emery right man to get a job today? What do you think?
Well, if you ask me today, he will certainly get another year, but I would change manager now. I would take Allegri if you could get him. I would take a manager who, even if he's of a similar stature to Unai Emery, can at least get the team more organised to win football matches. And that's the reason Arsenal did not get into the top four, because they failed to win enough matches they should have won. You know, at the end of a season, they could easily have got enough points to get fourth place. But their inability to win football matches, which they should have won, is what's cost. And that's why I personally would, if we could change manager, I would change manager now. There's no point. There's no point in continuing with Emery, because he is not going to get Arsenal to the level that maybe a figure of the stature of Allegri could. You know, as a coach, he's not Guardiola. You know, the one thing that might prove me wrong is what Jurgen Klopp did at Liverpool. You know, Klopp's first season at Liverpool was not a success. He came in October, enough time to certainly improve their position. And yet he finished the campaign with Liverpool in eighth place. He did reach a Europa League final and ironically lost to Emery's Sevilla. But what he did in that campaign, which kind of endeared him to the Liverpool fans, not only in terms of his personality and charisma and the style of play that he had his players playing, the whole Guggenpressing thing he did at Dortmund, but he gave them a semi-final match second leg semi-final against Dortmund, I think it was, ironically, where Liverpool qualified for the Europa League final in hugely dramatic circumstances, showing a spirit and a pride that Liverpool fans hadn't seen for a while and really took to. And they gave Klopp time. They didn't get on his back. And he's proved that he can develop and coach a team to a high level. You would say, okay, he still hasn't won anything, but my God, to get 97 points in the Premier League and lose one game is a massive achievement. Not enough to beat the billions at Manchester City, but still, you know, there is credit due there. He's also got that team to two consecutive Champions League finals. And as Arsenal fans, we may not like Liverpool, but by God, a lot of Arsenal fans will be rooting for that team on the Saturday, the 1st of June. That much I'm pretty sure about. We hope he wins his first trophy at Liverpool there. So from an inauspicious start, Klopp did turn round the football club, helped quite possibly by some finance due to the sale of, for example, Coutinho, which allowed him to buy Van Dijk. But on a lesser level, Liverpool have been buying good players with not spending a huge amount of money. So, for example, is the right back Robertson from, or is the left back, sorry, Robertson from Hull. You know, that was a very astute buy. So, you know, it's possible from the same start that Emery could achieve similar results with Arsenal. You cannot write off the man from one season, otherwise Klopp would have gone. However, I don't see that repeating in reality.
There is a argue about what is first. So what's the first Arsenal problem? The players or the manager? If I ask you, what is first today, of course, today? So, is another manager would be able to get results better than Emery with the same group of players?
I believe he would. I do believe he would, because I just think that, in a way, it's Emery's misfortune that he came in straight after Wenger, because there was a huge culture of complacency at the club, and to an element that still exists. Emery has tried to shake it out of them, but certainly the players aren't good enough. So another manager could do better with this group of players. But the bottom line is there need to be changes in the personnel. Some of the players are not good enough. So the club won't reach the levels they need to with this group of players, even though another manager may well have got them into Champions League in the top four this season. So if Emery was given better players, he'd win things. I mean, you know, Paris Saint-Germain's been an example of that, you know. He did win 5 trophies out of 6 in France in his 2 years there. But having said that, look at the way he went out of Europe both seasons with that very expensive team. The defeat to Barcelona, the 6-1 defeat, the defeat to Real Madrid.
Well, they were favourites.
Exactly. So that, to me, suggests that you can't say one or the other. Neither's good enough. But if you're going to change one thing, if I was going to change one thing, I would change the players right now. Because has to happen.
Okay, tell me, 5 players who are not good enough.
Okay, well, Mustafi's an obvious one.
Mm-hmm.
Xhaka mm-hmm. isn't good enough. Ozil isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just thinking the first 11 now. Kolasinac isn't good enough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if Iwobi isn't good enough.
Mkhitaryan.
I think he would do better under a different manager.
But he didn't do it at Man United.
Yes. He did it at Dortmund. I agree. He probably would go as well. You know, you asked me for five. I've given you five, but I probably would add Mkhitaryan to that list. But he's not going anywhere because of what they're paying him, obviously.
No China escape from Mkhitaryan, no?
Well, he's on so much money. I don't see any club offering him the same wages.
Not China.
Oh, have there been any stories?
I never heard it, but...
Yeah, I mean, everything's possible with China, although I notice it's gone a bit quiet on that front lately. I think they're cutting back on these expensive imports. I don't know. But yeah, I mean, Ozil to China would be the dream, but no one's come in, have they?
No. At the same time, Man United is trying to let Sanchez go for free to Inter Milan, and they are in official negotiations already.
Well, they can afford to do that because they have so much money. I can't see Arsenal letting Ozil do that. It would just because they'd have to replace him, I don't know. It's an impossible situation, the Ozil situation. Very difficult.
I agree with you, but in your view, what is better? To let Ozil go for free, for example, or to keep them in the squad with $350,000 a week?
Probably let him go, because that $350,000 a week, that's £35 million. You know, I suppose what can you do with $35 million? That's the question. I mean, Torreira was sort of 23 million. So let's say, for the sake of argument, is 2 years' wages take him up to 35. So, yeah, on that level, you could do better than Ozil. You lose the creativity, but you don't get it most of the time anyway. Ozil has had a very poor season. He was indulged by Wenger. He is an example of a player that is in the comfort bubble and frankly doesn't really care too much whether or not he plays, I don't think. I just think he's so happy in London, taking his wages, spending them on God knows what.
Flying to Istanbul to meet Turkish president.
Well, you know, amongst other things. So, yeah, it's a legacy. Ozil is a legacy of the Wenger Gazidis era. And the huge irony of that is that, with hindsight, you know, we could be securing Aaron Ramsey instead. But, I mean, I understand the reasons that the club did what they did, because they look at the value of replacing a player of that stature. What they couldn't have predicted was just how bad he would have been since he signed that deal.
So you think Aaron Ramsey should stay in Arsenal?
In preference to Ozil, yes.
Compared to Ozil, okay. Yes, I agree also.
Okay. That's the comparison I was making. In reality, I think it's probably... The guy is always injured, okay? And if you're going to be paying someone the wages that they were... On the table, there was something like, I think it was $250,000 a week when they pulled the deal. If you're going to be paying someone that much money, you want them playing all season. Now, because Ramsey's had such a good few months, it's rather coloured people's view of him. You know, he has done great things for the club. He will be remembered as a legend because of the two cup final winners. However, if you really look back at his contribution over the years, so much of it was on the treatment table. And the irony now is that is where he's ended. So for the money you're paying Ramsey, you can get three players now with your, with good scouting. So I certainly, although I regret losing the Ramsey we've seen in recent months, if we need to take the longer picture, then it's the right decision to let him go.
I don't regret seeing Ramsey go, because he's not good enough, generally speaking. Sometimes he is good, but he hasn't consistency. And in my view, it's a good move. But I cannot compare to Ozil, because when Ozil came to Arsenal in 6 years ago, he was very good, Ozil. The problem with Ozil started maybe 2 years ago. And 5 years ago, okay, you cannot compare Ramsey to Ozil.
No,
yes. I can't. It's impossible.
Yes.
Now, it's not because Ramsey is good. It's because Ozil is very bad. And I agree with you that we have to get rid out of Ozil, mainly because he is a poison in the dressing room already.
Mm-hmm.
So
yep.
This is very important. But okay, if you have a limited budget, as Arsenal will, I believe, maybe 120 million, 150 million, including wages, I believe it at least 150 million. I absolutely understand that it depends on sales you can produce, but what kind of players do you think we need to buy firstly?
I think, I mean, I think going forward, there's not too many problems. Arsenal have been scoring goals this season. So in that area, it's fine. Priority for me is defence. And then after that, you really do need to strengthen the midfield. So defence first, then midfield.
Defence, central defence.
Yes, but also you need to look at that left back position. Mm-hmm. If you're going to play a back four, Kolasinac is an orthodox left back isn't very good. Monreal is very old. So
it's last season will be, I believe.
Yeah, we do need a left back. We need a very good central defender to replace Mustafi. Mavrapanos has not worked out.
Mm-hmm.
So effectively at the moment on the squad you've got three competent central defenders. Koscielny is obviously probably going to be in his last year. Holding hopefully will be fit, and Socrates and Holding as a partnership briefly while they were both playing looked like it had some kind of understanding and solidity. But three central defenders isn't enough. I mean, they might, I don't know what the situation with Callum Chambers is. You know, they might even look at using him as Fulham did in central midfield. But the feeling you get is that Emery let him go on loan because he didn't rate him. Simple as that. So I don't know what's going to change there. And I don't think defensively Chambers pulled up too many trees at Fulham while he was playing at the back. So, you know, he may be in the squad, but how useful he will be is another question. So at least one central defender. I mean, realistically speaking, you know, it's Mustafi out and someone else in. And then in the midfield, Emery seems to like Xhaka, and there are people whose opinion I respect who think Xhaka is a good player. But to me, Xhaka is a player who he makes too many errors and costly errors, and he doesn't know how to foul tactically. He just fouls stupidly. Hence, for example, the penalty given away against Brighton. Was it Brighton? I think it was Brighton. But, you know, it's... He's a player that isn't good enough, and I think we need to replace him and get someone in who's just more responsible as well as being able to pass the ball around, you know, in what I would call efficient fashion. So those three positions for me are the main ones: left back, central defender, and a central midfielder to replace Xhaka.
And wingers, no?
I wouldn't say no to a winger, but I just don't think it's a priority. I mean, the thing about Emery is he seems to quite like playing three at the back. So if you are playing three at the back, you kind of get rid of the need for a winger. What you've got to do is get your wing backs to be able to cross the ball better. But certainly if we're going to play four at the back, then yes, a winger would also be a good addition.
Would you take back Cesc Fabregas, for example?
Yes, I would. I think Fabregas still has, I mean, he's obviously got experience of winning things now. You know, that's something that didn't happen while he was at Arsenal. You know, okay, he played in the cup final in 2005, but in terms of campaigns, seeing a campaign through to the end and winning something at the end of it, he learned that at Barcelona and Chelsea. So I think he'd have something to add. Yeah, I mean, I'd play him in front of Xhaka every day.
Even now, in his ages.
What is he now, 34, 33?
33, I believe.
33.
But anyway, not every match, okay, with some
he'd have
breaks.
Something to contribute, yes.
Yes, he has something to contribute in the team, definitely. Or, I believe we need a Cesc Fabregas kind of player.
Yes.
Who can give a decent pass.
Yes.
I don't see it now, because Xhaka is not good enough as an attacker and not good enough as a defender. So he is half defender, but he is not a defender, half attacker, but he is not an attacker. I don't understand what are the advantages of this player. Maybe short, maybe, but twice a year, in my view, it's not good enough.
Yeah.
Kevin, tell me, please, when you watch Arsenal this season, can you tell me which game we are playing? So what is the Emery's idea of playing?
Well, I mean he uses this word protagonist a lot, so his idea
it's a word but in reality, what did you see by your eyes?
Well, I think the initial idea was effectively doing what Arsene Wenger tried to do and didn't succeed, but imitate the kind of Barcelona thing whereby you win the ball back quickly. You don't give the opposition time and space to do anything because you're chasing them down. And that's become very popular generally. I mean, obviously Liverpool and Man City, to an extent, use that. I mean, Guardiola started it at Barcelona. So the original idea was to effectively, through physical exertion and teamwork and picking their moments, to basically crowd players who were on the ball, force the ball backwards, force loss of possession, and then once you've got that, you're effectively reliance on the ability of your attackers to and midfielders to pass the ball well and get opportunities and score goals. So the idea was intensity. However, where that went wrong was because of the culture of complacency under Arsene, a lot of these players would do it sometimes but not all the time. So that comes down to a mixture of motivation, concentration, intelligence, and fitness. And the Arsenal players weren't up to doing that season long. Now, there are certain individuals who surrounded by a better group of players, can be part of that. Now, one of them is Lacazette, who, interestingly enough, has been voted the player of the year by the supporters.
It's strange. It's strange for me. Whom will you vote?
I can see why they voted for Lacazette. Who would I vote personally? God, that is a difficult decision. I mean, you can't argue with Aubameyang scoring more than 30
yes.
goals.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Yes. Why Lacazette?
That's the guy doing his job. I mean, Lacazette, because of the spirit, that's what the Arsenal fans responded to. They don't see it in Aubameyang. You know, his body language isn't that of a person that is totally committed. And what Arsenal fans love is a trier. So that's the reason someone like Ray Parlour was so popular, mm-hmm. in spite of limited technical ability. They'll forgive a player a lot if they think he's giving 100%. And that's the reason Lacazette won that vote. I'm sure about that. So
Lacazette would be able to play better in a different group of players.
Yes, I mean, it's interesting to read stories that Barcelona are interested mm-hmm, in. Mm-hmm. And I could see him working out there because Coutinho hasn't really, you know, from what I've seen. Or maybe they're thinking Suarez is getting on now, or they just want to rest Messi occasionally. But certainly Barcelona will be buying a forward in the summer. But having said that, they've already got Griezmann, so I don't think Lacazette will be going to Barcelona now.
From my point of view, Emery tried to get the team used to gegenpressing. It's Jurgen Klopp's name, gegenpressing.
Yes.
Maybe 1 month Emery right. tried to do it. And then okay. he stopped. I don't know why. And Arsenal never played in pressing first. Arsenal never learned how to get rid of pressing of the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
And generally speaking, 9 months, and I don't understand which game Arsenal is playing. I don't understand. I understand that Emery can prepare to the big teams and can produce the strategy against the teams which is playing in their own style. It's okay, and it works. But versus underdogs, he doesn't have a clue how to play versus underdogs, because underdogs has very very simple way to play versus Arsenal, you know, physical pressure at home at least. And that's why Arsenal suffered in underdogs game. In my view, we've got more points that we deserved in underdog games, and next season we will have lesser points from small games.
Yes, there's certainly a lot of truth to that. I mean, what's interesting is that he would have had, in theory, these type of games when he was at Paris Saint-Germain. The difference being he had better players to actually score the goals to win. So I think there was an element whereby he perhaps wrongly assumed that Arsenal's players would be able to imitate PSG and beat the teams that were lesser than them without having any kind of tactical plan, because he probably didn't need to come up with one at Paris Saint-Germain. Well, that's been found out. I mean, ultimately, Arsenal scored enough goals to win those games against these lesser teams when they were, you know, the underdog teams were the opposition. The problem was that they conceded too easily against these sides. And it comes back down to this idea that Emery just does not do defence, and he just could not get away with it in the Premier League because his attacking players weren't so good they'd outscore these underdog teams, certainly on some days. So that's why I would have no problems if they replaced him tomorrow. Although obviously I'd wait until after the final, but you know, as in this summer. But that is not going to happen. We know that.
Yes, absolutely. So Emery is not a coach who is able to, in my view, he is not able to work anywhere except Spain and, no, maybe, okay, Spain, Andorra, I don't know, in big leagues, I mean, anywhere except Spain and only the teams from fourth and lower. So he can't work in top clubs because he doesn't have a vision of football.
Yes, well, I mean, we haven't seen it, certainly, so I can't argue with that.
Okay, let's speak on reality. Yesterday, the official Arsenal website published the interview with general director and sporting director, or commercial director, Sanley Hehu.
Sanley is the football director.
Football director. Okay.
Yeah.
They said, okay, we both understand that they are messaging things. They are not. They are not speaking with you honestly, of course. And they are messaging that everything is okay. Arsenal Football Club the right way, heading in the right direction. Blah blah. When I heard it yesterday. To be honest, it's absolutely the same what I heard in Wenger's era. Absolutely the same. Different people, mm-hmm. but the same words. But okay, they are trying to keep supporters calm. They're saying we have fantastic coach, blah, blah. So they are not going to change Emery for some reason. I don't know which one, but okay. Emery will work and will start next season, yes?
I believe so.
Yes. I also, I'm sure that this is the case. But what Arsenal, what's the position Arsenal should have, let's say, in December, in order the owners, okay, let's say owners, will have to say it's okay, we need another coach. Which position must get Arsenal in December?
Well, Arsenal, you see, as long as they're in contention for the top four, then they will give Emery for the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Because the only way they're going to sack him halfway through the season if it's obvious they're not going to make top four. So in terms of position, I think it's more to do with the points gap. You know, if, for example, by December, Arsenal are 8 points short of fourth position, then I think they would let him go, assuming there was another candidate. However, what you must remember is historically, Arsenal don't sack managers easily. They rarely get rid of someone in the middle of a campaign, so it would indicate a change of culture if they were to do that, but they must be acutely aware that the club has to be back in the Champions League for financial reasons, and the other thing that might be a factor is if by some chance Arsenal, let's say Arsenal are in Champions League next season, let's say they win the group, let's say they've looked impressive in European matches, they might think, well, you know, this guy won the Europa League last season, he seems to have the magic in Europe, you know, we'll see if he can win Champions League. They might give him that opportunity, but they just need to get back in that competition, and the longer that wait goes on, the more vulnerable that Emery is, especially if it's looking like he doesn't have a chance of doing it next year.
I can't see Emery not winning Champions League, of course not, but even contending I don't know. Even if we are talking about semi-final, Champions League semi-final, I can't see it with Unai Emery. But if it goes as it goes this season, more or less, will he get the third year in the summer 20?
If he gets the club into Champions League at the end of next season, he will get his final year.
Okay. Do you believe that he will get in top form? Or it depends on...
Well, I think Chelsea... and they're going to get a good manager. They're probably going to get Allegri. So they put them in the top four. Spurs, Eriksen's probably going to go. Alvaro will go. If Pochettino stays, then they're okay. So no, I don't think Arsenal will get in the top four next season. If you ask me today, I don't think they will.
Now, if you ask me today, when Unai Emery is a coach, so Arsenal will not get in top four with this coach, because the coach doesn't have a vision. This is a main problem. He doesn't have a vision. Arsenal doesn't have style and will lose a lot of points with underdogs. And I'm sorry, last April, I would like to remind you, do you remember the quality of games versus Everton at Goodison? It was one-sided game. Watford, when Watford were down to 10 men, it was one-sided game. Leicester, it was one-sided game. I'm sorry, with this kind of games, you can't think about top four. Not the results, but the kind of games, when you go to the lesser teams and they are playing with you as Barcelona, I'm sorry.
Yes, it's difficult to argue with that. It was a horrendous month, and you just can't make sense of it.
The only thing I was surprised is that Unai Emery never said that we showed great mental strengths. If I would heard it, I would think that there are no changes at Arsenal Football Club for last year. But of course, in my view, there were changes, of course, in the mood of the supporters. It's okay. There were some matches which I will maybe watch again in the summer, like versus Tottenham 4-2. So there were some matches and there were changes, but in my view, it's not enough, and Unai Emery is not the man who will take Arsenal at the needed level.
Yes, I agree.
So, Kevin, will we win in Baku? Generally speaking, your feeling. Yeah, I understand that we can discuss the arguments, but in your feeling, will we get Champions League?
Yeah. Okay. I think they have a hold over Chelsea in these major matches. I think they will win. If you ask me yes or no, I think they'll win.
Yes. Okay. Everybody will hope, because we last year trophy we've got 25 years ago in Copenhagen.
Yeah.
When we beat Parma 1-0 and the whole stadium singing 1-0 to the Arsenal. And it was the times when Arsenal has a very good and solid defense and a very good character, which is badly needed now, yes?
Oh, if only we had players of that character, it would make a huge difference. Having said that, you've got to remember the midfield on that night. It had, I think, Selle and Morrow in there. So it just shows you that you can put poor players in a good team and they will produce. And that final was a credit to George Graham, in fairness. It showed what a great manager he was.
Yes, so finally, the role of manager is very important and cannot be denied.
No.
Okay, Kevin, thank you very much for joining us today.
You're welcome, Ivan.
It was very interesting, as usual, and we will be definitely speaking in the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you.